Welcome back to eMoney's Knowledge Base podcast. My name is Brett Tharp. I'm a certified financial planner and advisory training specialist here at eMoney, and I'm delighted to be hosting our latest episode. And in today's conversation, I sit down with Michelle Riska, who is a senior member of eMoney's Financial Planning Product and Research Group. And in case you've checked out any of eMoney's monthly continuing education webinars in the past, you may have heard Michelle speak as she has hosted several sessions focusing on taxes, not only looking at existing tax law, but also potential tax legislation and overall just how eMoney is impacted by any changes. And unless you've been stranded on an island for the last couple of months, you'll know that a large bill has recently been passed and signed into law. One Big Beautiful Bill is officially in place, and with it comes a number of income and estate tax impacts. So, it made a ton of sense to ask Michelle to join the podcast to speak about aspects of this new tax legislation and how eMoney is responding to deploy relevant changes to how we approach taxes. Michelle and I will first discuss, in general, how eMoney goes about incorporating new tax provisions into our software. Then we'll shift the conversation to discussing finer details of the new legislation. So settle in for another insightful conversation. With all that said, let's begin. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information, and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates. Hey, Michelle, it's great to have you on the Knowledge Base podcast. For anyone who hasn't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, though, do you mind introducing yourself and your role here at eMoney?
Thanks, Brett. Yep, I'm Michelle Riska. I'm a senior financial planning product and research consultant here at eMoney, holding my CHFC and BFA. I've been at eMoney for about 8 years now, and this is my first podcast, so thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, Michelle, you are an easy person to think of here, knowing the extent of your time at eMoney and how much it has been spent with various types of updates to the software. And I know that you really focus in on a lot of the tax legislation and some of the research that goes into how we continue to enhance our software here. So you are obviously a great and easy person to have in mind, and just appreciate you sharing the insights from your time and travels here at eMoney. So as I just alluded to, why I wanted to bring you on this episode of the podcast was we've recently received some new tax legislation. And obviously, that is a very big thing that we collectively here at eMoney are working on and working diligently to reflect in our software. So before we get into some of the details of the most recent tax legislation that's been approved, I figured maybe we kind of just set the stage a little bit more and just talk in general about how we go about the annual updates to the platform in terms of our tax changes. Obviously, there's a lot of people that get involved here at eMoney. So I wanted to get your thoughts on just some of the general tax legislation updates that we typically perform throughout the year.
Sure. So I would break this into a few pieces. Obviously, every year we want to make sure our tax engine is working correctly. Taxes are a huge component of your financial plan, regardless of where you fall on the net worth scale. So each year, our annual updates will focus both on federal and state taxes. To elaborate a little bit more for federal, each year we do go ahead and make sure that we are looking at those things such as our standard deductions, our tax brackets, contribution limits. We're making sure everything we have in the software is lining up with the IRS guidelines. So pretty standard stuff. Every once in a while, we might have a unique situation such as Secure 2.0, right? Secure 2.0 provisions came out over a number of years. So that was an additional step, making sure that we're accounting for everything that is new for the current year. One piece that folks might not think about as much is our state tax update. So every year, this is a bigger project for everyone involved. It's two components. First of all, the income tax for the states. So we've got 50 states. We have people on my team in the financial planning group. We've got folks in product. We basically divvy up all the states, go to each state individually, pull out their tax forms. Something a lot of folks might not know is that every state loves to do things a little bit differently. So then we have to extract the information, get everything in a nice, neat spreadsheet, cross-check things. That all goes through testing. So that is a bigger project each year. We also do the estate and death taxes. So the estate and death taxes for states, we do start working on those usually towards the end of the year, November, December timeframe. However, depending on when the states actually release all their data, you might not see them until the first quarter of the following year. It just depends on when they provide the information. Additionally, you know, those are very standard things that we have accounted for in our timeline each and every single year. But then we also run into things like the One Big Beautiful Bill. So any legislation that is passed throughout the year, we do prioritize. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that later in our podcast. But that is something that we're consistently keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and I remember during my time in our financial planning group, I remember going through some of the individual states that got assigned to me to do the updates. And so I can definitely appreciate how much work is involved and the research and confirming across as different sources and .gov websites and everything like that. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. But like you said, obviously, the big thing for us in today's conversation is to talk just more about the BBB, as maybe some are referring it to, or just the Big Beautiful Bill. And obviously, not every aspect of this sprawling legislation is going to impact e-money. There's a number of things that just don't come into play, so we're not going to cover things that fall outside of legislation and how it impacts e-money in our financial projections, okay? So let's talk just more about this. And when I first started reading some of the bill, I was kind of overwhelmed just in the length and a lot of the information involved. But after maybe distilling things down, maybe it's not as tricky as maybe a lot of us thought it was going to be. But I'll give you a chance here to instead explain how we're going about capturing those elements that are relevant to our software. There may be like certain ones that we're focusing on initially, and just if you can speak about how we're actually tackling this project.
Sure. So this new legislation has been obviously a work in progress for quite a while. I do the March tax webinar, so I've been following this very closely since before it was signed into law. Couple things that are a little bit unique compared to, for example, TCJA, Big Beautiful Bill, you know, almost 1,000-page document. But when it comes right down to it, the pieces that were included in this legislation ended up not being terribly difficult to implement. A lot of pieces were simply making pieces of TCJA permanent with some minor tweaks. There were a few components that are actually new in the scheme of things. So do you think now would be a good time to kind of dive into them individually?
Yeah, we can maybe tackle, obviously we're not going to hit every single aspect of it, but again, maybe how we're looking to categorize things and maybe some of our, just how we're planning to implement in the next couple weeks.
Absolutely. So given that there is a number of provisions in the actual legislation, whenever we're looking at new tax components that need to go into the software. Obviously, taxes are a huge priority. You can't have an accurate financial projection without taking into account taxes. So our goal here was to take a look at all of the components that are in this big sprawling bill and boil things down to the things that need to happen ASAP and the things that we can build in without holding up that original release for. So a couple of the things that we'll want to talk about is some of those TCJA provisions that were made permanent. And this is a good a time as any to mention, anytime we talk permanent about tax code, that simply means until the next piece of legislation comes along and overwrites it. However, that is in direct contrast to TCJA, where there was an expiration date on everything that was in the bill. So as far as the things that we are looking to implement first in our upcoming release, those big ticket items, right? Making sure the tax rates are accounted for. Those were extended from the TCJA provisions. Exemptions, for example, were permanently removed. The elevated standard deduction was kept in place from TCJA and also slightly increased. Child tax credit was slightly increased, along with things like the AMT exemptions and phase outs. A couple new components that are going to be taken into account in that first release are going to be the senior deduction, things like the SALT cap. So the SALT cap obviously was increased, but also has some phase out limits associated with them. QBI was made permanent with a little bit of increases for full phase out. And then from the estate planning side of things, the estate and gift tax exclusion is going to be at $15 million starting in 2026. So those are all things that, as we prioritize, right, we made the call that, hey, this needs to go out and we would like all of this to go out at one time. So that should get you very close to having almost everything you need. A couple pieces that may come a little bit later are some tax adjustment items. So for example, the tax deduction that you can get for tips or overtime, that will be very next on the list as soon as we're done with this release.
Yeah, thank you for that. There's obviously a lot of stuff, but like you said, maybe not as much as what we were initially maybe thinking. And maybe just the complexity isn't quite as high as maybe just me was initially thinking as well. But yeah, I appreciate you kind of saying, hey, these are those ASAP type of items. Those are going to be coming through if they're not already released very, very soon. And then we're going to immediately after, hopefully in the next couple weeks, like you said, have those tax adjustment light items. Looks like a lot of them are going to be potentially found in that tax adjustment area or maybe other places too, but just something to stay mindful of. And I like how you basically positioned all of these because, yeah, like you said, sometimes, right, when you say permanent, right, there is a certain connotation to permanent. And with, like you said, tax legislation, it's only permanent until maybe the next round of legislation and the next Congress is in place in the future, because they can certainly make changes to that tax legislation and maybe undo, or like we're seeing now, just make things more permanent. That's how I like saying it. Things are more permanent now than they were before.
Well, and one thing to interject on that, I think if you don't dive into the actual wording of legislation, you might not realize this, but the way tax legislation is often written is more like a set of instructions referencing previous legislation. So this plays into why some of these changes we're making this time around are pretty easy for us to make. For example, the pieces that reference TCJA may be written as what I would call a strike through, right? They're referencing the TCJA legislation, but striking through the actual expiration date. So given that, this was a little bit easier for us since we did have TCJA built in, albeit we had the ability to sunset or not sunset. But from a coding perspective, it was pretty easy to work on those elements once we had the actual legislation in hand.
Well, similar to that, I know you've kind of touched on this already, but just, you know, to give it a little bit more light, obviously we have different priorities, right, just in life, and that's no different than at a software company like eMoney, where new stuff comes through. I know you already gave some insight about particular things that are going to be more of the ASAP versus very soon thereafter, but just maybe taking a step back, do you mind just maybe having a more kind of general or universal discussion or just sharing just how we think about, okay, how do we assign this as a as soon as possible, or just other considerations that we make in determining priority and implementation?
Absolutely. So I'm sure our audience is mostly financial planners, financial advisors, right? It's similar to anything in the financial planning world where there's always trade-offs, right? For our clients, it might be retiring a little later so they can have more money in retirement. Well, with working on software and implementing changes, we always want to prioritize what is going to be the most impactful to the most plans. So I think I said this a little earlier, tax changes, always a priority, right? We might take a little pause on some other projects we're working on to make sure we get these things released as quickly as possible. Also worth noting, when I say as quickly as possible, I mean as quickly and accurately as possible. So the developing and the actually making the code changes is just a portion of the work. We do need to go ahead and send this through QA. Literally just before I came on this podcast, I was doing some testing in our test environment to see how these changes look. I'll be a little cheesy here. I always say my favorite part of the job is I get paid to try to break things. this doesn't quite fly when I do that on the weekend at home, but so far I haven't broken anything. So we're on the right track. But with that in mind, as we look at what we're going to do ASAP versus what can be in a following release, for example, really usually comes down to what's going to affect the most plans across the board. So in this case, obviously the things like tax brackets, you know, the removal of exemptions, SALT deductions, those are things that we're going to see a widespread impact from. Things like the senior deduction, right? A lot of people are looking at retirement planning. That's very important to get out as soon as we possibly can. However, trade-offs, right? So there are certain things that we as a group, we look at, we discuss, and we're like, hey, you know what? We're not going to hold up some of these bigger changes to get this all out at one time. So great example is the deductions for tips over time. We realize that's important. It's going to get built in, but we don't need to hold up those bigger pieces that affect more clients across the board. We'll do that in the next iteration.
And that makes a lot of sense to get the most important things out as quickly as possible and other things that are still important, yet we don't want to hold off on the most important items. Those will follow later. And like you said, those typically falling with some of those tax adjustment items for certain types of incomes and new deductions available and everything like that. So far, we've talked about things that we're going to do immediately and then as soon as we can thereafter, right, in a subsequent release. But obviously, there are certain things that maybe we just won't actually get implemented or at least don't have a specific ETA. And maybe a couple things kind of fall in that category. But as far as deferring any types of legislation and those decisions, can maybe just talk about why do we look to defer some things and maybe the odds of something that was previously deferred, it actually getting implemented or incorporated sometime in the future?
Sure. So kind of going back to the prioritization, right? There are often going to be things that come up that maybe don't affect as many users, but they're difficult to implement and require a significant amount of work. With those, we may defer for a longer period of time so we have time to work through it. One of the biggest factors is, can we still represent this in the software? So a good example right now would be the Trump accounts. Since that's not in the client or spouse's estate, and there is a way to represent those accounts, paying for education, that's an example of something where at this point we've made the decision, hey, there are bigger fish to fry right up front, and then we can see how are people using these? Are they widespread? This might be as good a point as any for me to put a little plug towards our product suggestions. And that goes for anything, not just Trump accounts, but if there's any shortfalls that you notice that you're running into, we do look at those. And also, I didn't mention this when we talked about state income tax updates. If your state is doing something a little different mid-year, sometimes we catch those when our folks call in and say, hey, my state just implemented this new rule. So we do love to hear from our users and get that feedback that, hey, this is something that we're using, we're running into planning for our clients, and that certainly helps us realize, hey, this should be a priority.
Michelle, you are singing from the book of Brett here, because I can't say it loud enough to have your voice heard in our software, to use the request a feature, submit your product feedback. We want to hear from you, so please submit those. As you know, we can't guarantee everything that gets submitted actually gets implemented, but it is a primary way, and it's how the squeaky wheels get the oil. So always appreciate you shouting out and bringing attention to that link. And completely understand, right, if something isn't really impacting clients and spouse directly, for example, with these new types of investment accounts, they're going to be more for newborn children. Okay, do we need to represent them in their parents' estate now? Not really. I don't know if we really need to in the future, but maybe if things change over time, if we see more traction and more adoption of these types of things and more people utilizing them, well, then obviously there's going to be more incentive for us to create supplemental account types. So although it's being deferred, the great thing with technology, it can always evolve and be changed in the future. I do appreciate your time. I do want to maybe bring this to a close soon, but just have a couple other questions here, and feel free to pick my brain a little bit as well, Michelle. But obviously, at this point, there is new legislation, and depending on when we're recording this and when the releases are actually put out there, in case the new legislation, the new aspects, the first phase, the ASAP items aren't quite ready by the time we publish this podcast, right? Are there some ways to kind of get around, or what should we users do to still reflect some of the newer provisions until we ultimately get everything incorporated into our baseline projection?
Sure. So I would say that the biggest thing you can do to make sure that you're as close to the new legislation as you can for the least amount of effort is definitely make sure you have your tax assumptions sunset for TCJA set to does not sunset. The main pieces that got extended are going to be the pieces that affect your projections the most, such as standard deduction, tax brackets, etc. Brett, I know you do a lot of training. I was curious, in your experience, are there any training insights that you might give to folks on how to work with tax legislation on those clients?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always addressing questions like this, and it's very relevant now, obviously. Since this legislation has been passed, we know that provisions are not sunsetting. For all of your existing clients, it makes a lot of sense to change that assumption and to not have the income or estate provisions from the TCJA sunset. So like you said, saying everything should be the sunset does not occur for all clients. I think that makes a lot of sense. As we're looking to incorporate some of these other types of available deductions for certain forms of income, what you can always do now, and that's one of the great things about our tax engine and capabilities, is you can still do a tax adjustment to reflect that, okay, maybe there is some taxable income that does not need to be taxed. Now, obviously, we are going to work to get the more of the particulars and details for certain forms of income, whether it's tip or overtime or et cetera, et cetera. But you can always utilize a adjustment at this point in time, and you would just be responsible to calculate just what that adjustment should be to offset taxable income. So we could do a deduction potentially, or I just kind of like using the general adjustment since it allows us to positively and negatively impact a given tax burden in a given year. So in the meantime, still leverage the tax adjustments area to reflect maybe something specific to your client. Like you were mentioning too, when it comes to the Trump accounts, right? If we know that they're going to be used for education purposes, it does make sense to potentially just, you know, use a 529 plan potentially. But obviously these can be used or the proceeds can be used for more than just education. And if that's the case, then maybe there are some other approaches that we would have you take. But again, ultimately, you're going to need to consider utilizing an adjustment to basically offset or really account for whatever the provision is kind of calling for. So just keep those tax adjustments handy. That's the biggest thing from a training standpoint. Michelle, I love talking this stuff, but I know, again, we want to be respectful of your time. I am just curious here about if there was anything from this most recent round of legislation and implementing it and everything like that, any unique things that came up in this exercise for updating the tax legislation?
So I wouldn't say that this is necessarily unique, but I think a big eye-opening piece for me, having tracked this all the way from back in January when it was just, you know, we had a leaked memo that had some of these ideas as bullet points, and seeing this evolve through different proposals and then different versions of the Big Beautiful Bill. Some people might wonder, hey, if we're researching all this stuff in the background, right, why it still takes a little bit after the legislation is passed to actually implement, it's because there are so many versions of some of these ideas that can come up. Until anything's signed into law, we don't actually know what it's going to precisely look like on the numbers. So I think that was something that was eye-opening to me, was back in March when I ended up doing the tax webinar maybe 2 or 3 days after the no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security became a big news story. So even the evolution of that at the time, even though those three bullet points sound very simple and straightforward as ideas, there were maybe 4 different proposals on the tips idea, maybe 4 different proposals on overtime. And for example, the Social Security, obviously that didn't manifest itself as no tax on Social Security. That manifested actually as a senior deduction. So as we're coming up on proposals and we're coming up on any talks about tax legislation, there's a long process from an idea taking form and actually being implemented. So we do follow it all the way through the process, but we start work once we get those official numbers.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, this, you know, I didn't really take that into account that, all right, well, as this changes, as maybe one version of the bill goes through the House, but then goes to the Senate, then goes back to the House, like all these little changes. And yeah, it can be a whole lot. We appreciate what you and the rest of the teams are doing here to ensure that we get the accurate new legislation and other details into the platform. So we'll tell you what, Michelle, this has been a great conversation, but I am going to look to wrap it up for now. But before we let you go here, I do just want to call out, obviously, this is a big question. We get a lot of questions about tax legislation and enhancements and how we're going to go about things. We provide a lot of information, but in a lot of different places. So if you're looking to just get more information about any changes to our product roadmap, including the tax legislation change, I would say check out the eMoney blog. You can easily find it after you log into your own eMoney Access. Just scroll to the very bottom and you should see a little link to get to the eMoney blog. We'll have a page there dedicated to show here are the updates that have been released. Here's what maybe is still to come. Here are some other resources to get more information about the bill, whether it's from Congress themselves or maybe different authors and folks that have done some research there as well. So that's usually the best place. Don't hesitate also to contact our customer support teams, obviously through phone, email, and chat. Happy to take your questions there. And then don't forget about the number of resources that can be found both in the help and training menus that are available in eMoney. We will certainly have more information appearing there, specifically in the help menu. There is going to be a little section for recently updated types of things and new resources and whatnot. And obviously the tax legislation like this would fall under that. So that's how you can get more information from your good friends here at eMoney. And yeah, Michelle, just I want to say thank you for having such a open and candid conversation here, sharing how we go about this, just how much we invest and how much, you know, how important it is that we make these meaningful changes and improvements to the software. So again, just really appreciate your time, and you know, hopefully we can have you maybe come back in the future to talk about more tax changes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brett.
And that's another episode in the books. I really appreciated having Michelle share her thoughts and insights on this round of new tax law and how eMoney is going about implementing these changes into our platform. As we mentioned before, be sure to visit the eMoney blog to stay current on where we stand with the various phases of tax legislation releases. And I really do hope that you found this episode educational and just helpful in your understanding of eMoney and how we go about incorporating changes like new tax legislation into our software. That said, we'll be back in a couple of weeks for our next episode. But in the meantime, I really hope that you and yours are enjoying the rest of your summer. Fall is right around the corner, but such is life. So until our next conversation, this is Brett Tharp signing off for now. Take care, and we will talk again soon.